بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, who we find was sent to purify this Muslim Ummah externally from the corruptions in belief and the disbelief that many of the people had at that time, and likewise also to purify the hearts of mankind to bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if the whole of the hadith in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, indeed, I have only been sent to perfect the noble character and behavior of human beings. Many of the ulama of hadith, shurah al-hadith, mentioned as if this was the main purpose, as if this was the full intent of the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as we find al-hajj wa arafah, the main form or the main day of al-hajj, these ayam of tashriq, days of ibadat, of worship. A special day is the day of Arafah. That is the pinnacle point. Just like the hadith, ad-deenun nasiha, this way of Islam, this deen, is nothing but sincere advice. As if that is the pinnacle point of the whole of Islam, is to remind and advise one another based upon the ayah inside the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. And it's quite sad that we have to remind ourselves about this importance of khuluqul Muslim, the character of the Muslim, or akhlaqul Muslim, the characteristics of the Muslim or the believer, when these should be etiquettes and conduct and behavior, which should be a form of normality and normal practice for all of us Muslims. So it's quite sad that we have to remind ourselves, but hopefully based upon this ayah, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, indeed the reminder benefits the believers. Whereby so many of us may begin to focus upon the study of belief, of aqa'id, of iman, and to rectify that. And at times people make such statements that as long as my iman is good, what difference does it make if my actions or my characteristics are not so good? That's one perception. The second perception is the opposite. Well, as long as I have good characteristics and behavior, what difference does it make what my iman or what my belief is? I'm good to mankind. I treat them well. I speak well. I respect everybody. That's another perspective or dimension that we find. And the third dimension that we find is a person who doesn't care about their aqa'id, doesn't care about their belief, and doesn't care about their characteristics and their manners. And the final and the fourth category is what concerns us. People of Ahl Sunnah should be Sahibul Aqidah, Sahibul Khuluq. Person should be worried about their aqa'id, worried about their belief, and likewise should be worried about their characteristics and their behavior. They cannot be in essence separated from one another, as some people may begin to think. As many ulama mention, a person who's a fine belief is a person likewise of fine characteristics as well. As the Quran mentions, وَأَحْسِن كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, show goodness, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed goodness to you. Like that, likewise the Quran mentions, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَلَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Even you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had been harsh and rude and coarse towards them, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have split away from you. So that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person wants to adorn themselves with the correct creed and likewise with the correct ethics, the correct behavior that we find. And we know that some of us may begin to think, well, maybe the non-Muslims are the best individuals at teaching good character and good behavior, etc. But many times, many of these ethics and these characteristics are just snatched away from Muslims, and they begin to at times maybe possibly implement them better than us. But the mu'min, the believer, has every right. Al-hikmah dhalatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of the believer, and he has the most right to take it back whenever he or she finds it. And as a side point, this statement isn't hadith. It's inauthentic, not correct to attribute these to be amongst the words of the Prophet Muhammad, as many people think that al-hikmah dhalatul mu'min are amongst the prophetic tradition. This is incorrect. But this is a wise statement that some ulama have made, going back to some of the companions or other individuals, that we accept it, that the meaning is true. That a believer is one to take that goodness wherever the believer finds it. So these individuals who make this journey of studying of ethics, of studying of morality, of characteristics, that sometimes we find that Muslims begin to get infused with these concepts, whether it be we find the moral guide or introduction to ethics that we find, or Professor Azitsu, a Japanese scholar who talked about, wrote about ethics, etc., and other such writings that you find, what is ethics as far as they are concerned? For them, as you find, going back to the Greeks, that you find that ethics is just about eating, drinking and being merry, merriment, amusement. Whatever the lust and the desires find contentment in, that becomes the ethics of mankind. And obviously in Islam, this is dangerous, because we need to codify what are the correct ethics, what is the correct behavior, because it moves from one culture to one nation, to one people, to various individuals. So that's the Quran and the Sunnah is the best way to discover what is the best way to conduct ourselves. Because as we know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ. Oh, you believe, fighting has been prescribed upon you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Perhaps something may be disliking to you, despicable, natural disliking towards it. Obviously fighting, the spilling of blood, the killing of individuals, something that the human nature finds it repulsive at times. So whatever may be prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps you may dislike it, but it is something good for you. Perhaps you like something and it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contains the most ideal moral guide. As those Muslims who may be searching for the real moral guide, it exists inside the Qur'an. Whether it be whether we just heard tonight Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th chapter of the Qur'an, the closing ayat. وَعِبَادُ رَحْمَنَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Read through the whole of these ayat, Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th chapter of the Qur'an. It's talking nothing about the characteristics of عِبَادُ رَحْمَن, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning with, they are the ones who walk in a state of tranquility, humility, peace. And when ignorant individuals, they pass by them and make their comments or whatever it may be, they say peace and they continue their journey. Likewise, you find inside Surah Al-Isra, ayat talking about the characteristics of the believers. Surah Luqman, talking nothing but ethics that Luqman alayhi salam teaches his son. Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of the Quran, these 18 odd ayat, all talking about ethics and behavior. Likewise, inside Surah Al-An'am, find ayat talking about ethics and behavior. As if the whole of the Quran is continuously revolving around the concept of refining our behavior and our etiquettes, how we behave. Firstly, obviously, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Messenger, and then towards the rest of the believers. And likewise, you find that many of the ulama begin to extract this concept of ethics and behavior, and thus you find many chapters and many books on ahadith that you find talking about the chapter of akhlaq, of character, of behavior, whether it be al-shama'il al-muhammadiyah of Imam Tirmidhi, that we find talking about all of the characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his external characteristics and his behavior, etc. Likewise, we find Imam al-Mundhiri's famous Targhib wa Tarhib, a masterpiece, that no home should be free from this book. Just like we find Riyadh al-Salihin, a book of morals and manners in general that we find, just like that we find Targhib wa Tarhib of Imam al-Mundhiri. A very beneficial work that a person can go back and refer to the characteristics and the behavior of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, you find other ulama writing such titles as Khuluq al-Muslim, the character of a Muslim, the behavior of the Muslim, the vast different writings that you find that various ulama presented collecting all of these characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them they write the mufakkirun, or the Muslim thinkers and writers, etc., and people dealing with logha and language. They say that the word khuluq goes back to khalq, goes back to the same letters of kha, lam, and qaf. That's why you find that people deep in linguistics, they always try to make a link between the linguistic ma'na lughawi wa ma'na istilahi, between the linguistic meaning and the technical meaning, the shari'i meaning. So what is the link that you find between the creation of a human being? Because that's how some people think, that the creation of a human being cannot be changed, cannot be reformed. But the Prophet Muhammad changed the creation in terms of their characteristics. He changed them. It is possible to change them. If you read through the seerah of many of the companions, how they lived their lives and the characteristics that they had, he came and he changed them. And as the Quran mentioned, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great blessing upon the believers, that he sent a messenger from amongst their own selves. He recites upon them the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches in the book, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. What is the meaning of purifying them? Amongst ma'ani of tazkiyah is to teach them ethics, teach them character, teach them behavior. So one's khuluq should become refined just like one's khalq. Just like we find everything is unique of the human being, the eyes, the mouth, the lips, etc., all in the right place. So your character should become refined just like it's a normal part of your body. That's how it should be. Thus you find a link also in the hadith, Allahumma ahsin khuluqi kama ahsanta khalqi. Oh my Lord, perfect my characteristics, my character, my behavior, like you have perfected my creation the way that you have created me. So this is the plausible link that some ulama mentioned, that one needs to strive to refine and to purify themselves, to make that the noble characteristics that we have should be a normal practice. A normal practice in our lives. It should not be on rare occasions that when we have spiritual heights that we behave as good Muslims, etc. No, a Muslim should be common practice for them. It should be the general norm. As for today, that you find it becomes, the general norm is always to be behaving incorrect, unfortunately. The general norm for a Muslim is to be behaving well. And very on rare occasions whereby the Muslim may have certain difficulties, may then begin to have some slips or whatever there may be. That should become the norm for all of us, to become trying to be perfecting our characteristics and our behaviors, to be obviously firstly like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you find numerous ahadith revolving about his daily characteristics and his daily behavior. For what comes to mind, Anas ibn Malik, khadamtu an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 sinin. I served the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. So this isn't 10 minutes or 1 year or a short while of just working together, being with one another. I served him for 10 years and he never ever rebuked me. He never said to me, why do you do that? Why did you not do it like that? Why don't you do it like this? Never ever in his life. That's something unimaginable, to think that this is how a companion is praising the Prophet Muhammad, that he for 10 years never ever said anything to me, never questioned me. Where are we? Even though we know that the rank of the Prophet Muhammad is so sublime, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your character is so sublime, so high. But maybe some imitation eventually brings you close. As many of the shu'ara have written, that mild imitation at times makes you to lead to imitate those individuals. Like what Shaykh Sam ibn Taymiyyah in his works, اِقْتِدَاءُ صُرَاتِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ فِي مُخَالَفَةِ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. Staying upon the straight path and differing from the people, the companions of the hellfire. And that talks about, if you begin to emulate, you begin to copy certain individuals, and obviously those ethics and those etiquettes begin to rub off upon the individual. So that should be our benchmark. And I'm sure that all of us are aware, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, for you to emulate and to copy the Prophet Muhammad is the best example. Inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, that is the best example for us to follow. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day, and that is whoever remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So that should be our benchmark in looking at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see how we can begin to emulate him and to develop those characteristics inside our life. Likewise, he mentioned that the most heaviest thing on the scales, or in the scales on the day of judgment, will be the good deeds or the good characteristics. The good behavior will be heavy in the scale, benefit the individual. So if a person has a good belief and good etiquettes, it becomes something beneficial for the individual. Likewise we find, مَا كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَاحِشًا. The Prophet Muhammad never ever spoke any illicit words, rude words, incorrect words, and never entertained them, never listened to them. That's also advice for us to begin to think that sometimes as Muslims you find the speech of certain Muslims, the words that they use, it's quite questionable. That what have we been learning over these years, that even simple ways of speech and conduct has become abnormal for us. And obviously we know how sometimes the wider society begins to influence upon people that this is the way that we need to behave, etc. That's even the Prophet Muhammad has mentioned that the parable of being with good people is like the seller of perfume, and being with bad people or with good friends is like being with nafikhul kir, the person who blows into the bellows or blows into the iron or the furnace and the bending of metal, etc. They're just standing there, some of the smell, the burning heat will come on the clothing of the individual. And just by standing with the person who sells the perfume, just standing there, the smell will come onto the body of the individual. That is a parable of good friends and bad friends. Standing with good individuals who at least remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say some good words, will begin to affect the individual. Begin to affect the individual that they will begin to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those individuals, those companions being with the Prophet Muhammad had a dramatic effect upon their lives. That these individuals that you find any deviant in their belief, deviant inside their actions, that you find certain actions that if you read about their lives, it's unbelievable that human beings could do such actions. Yet being with the Prophet Muhammad, they refined themselves to become the best of creation, the best of individuals that ever came upon this earth. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people ever raised up. You order the good and you forbid the evil. So those are companions, those individuals that were refined. So what makes us think that I can't be refined today? I can't become a better individual? I can't become a better Muslim? No, every single Muslim should be thinking that I can become a better individual. I can become a better Muslim. Obviously that person becomes a better Muslim seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is khuluq, is al-ibadah, is worship. It is also a form of worship. Thus in Islam you find that ethics is closely related to the acts of worship that we do. Whether it be the prayer. The prayer isn't just a ritual practice. The Quran mentions, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Prayer takes you away from fawahish, illicit misconduct, sexual promiscuity, lewdness, wickedness, obscene behavior, obscene speech, obscene glances. It's just some of the rough rendition of the word fawahish. That's what the prayer should be doing, and also drifts you away from evil. Is that not ethics? Does our prayer encourage us to stay away from vice? Does it take us away from vice? Or do we unfortunately return back to vice? So there must be something wrong in our understanding of the prayer. Likewise, when the prayer, as the Quran mentions, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Prayer has been prescribed for the believers at set times. That's time management. That's creating awareness, punctuality, attendance, regularity. That's all inside the Quran. You don't need a manual or dissertation on time management. Some Muslims come and say, read this manual and you'll find all the roles. No, read the Quran. Observe the Quran. Read tafaseer of the Quran. Read ahadith. Read explanation. You'll find all of that. You'll find all those gems inside there. Likewise, you find az-zakah. What is zakah? It's nothing but ethics as well. لَمْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend of the things that you love. And whoever, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever removes the greed from within their heart, that individual will be successful. That's ethics. That's worrying about the people around you. That how you can purify yourself via spending of your wealth to enter into paradise and to help the rest of society. As-siyam, sawm, fasting in the month of Ramadan. Is it just to stay away from food and drink and carnal desires? Is that all that fasting has become? That person who doesn't stay away from vulgar speech, vain speech, obscene actions, then there's no need for that individual to stay away from food and drink. Paraphrasing the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, some harsh words. Perhaps some people just get fatigued, get tired, feel the pain of hunger, feel the pain of standing in qiyam. That's all that they gain, because they don't once again gain the benefits of the fasting and the standing in the night prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we find al-hajj. What do we find inside hajj? فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فَصُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ. Hajj is the well-known months. There should be no fasuq, no rebelliousness, no rudeness, no relationship, no quarreling, no argumentation. That's what should be taking place inside hajj. That is how a person comes back as a reformed individual. So this is how even the pillars of Islam are teaching us the importance of developing ethics within us. Thus you find al-birr. What is al-birr? Al-birr, husnul khuluq. What is piety? Is piety just to face the east and the west and the direction of prayer? Piety is far deeper than that. Piety is husnul khuluq, is to have good manners, to rectify oneself, to have those good characteristics that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ displayed throughout in his life and throughout his career, throughout his prophethood, his messengership upon this planet. That is exactly that we need to begin to look at our relationship towards these ethics, these characteristics that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came with. And amongst them that we find that sometimes we begin to belittle them, or not begin to pay enough attention towards them. Amongst them, for example, as-sidq, truthfulness. How many Muslims are truthful? When the Quran is telling us, oh, you believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with the truthful individuals. That should be a general characteristic of the Muslim. When it's once posed to the Prophet Muhammad, I'm paraphrasing the hadith, can a Muslim be a miserly individual? Can the person be bakhil? Can they withhold their wealth or withhold something that they possess? Yes, that's possible. Person doesn't want to share, earn something with their own hands, doesn't want to share with another individual. It's possible, quite possible for a mu'min to be like that. Can a mu'min, a believer, be cowardly? Can a mu'min be scared? Yes, it's possible. There could be what they call natural fears, the dark, wild animals, whatever it may be. Person could feel scared. There's nothing wrong with that. Can a believer be a liar? Can a believer lie? Never. A believer, a Muslim, can never be attributed as knowing, as being a liar. Thus we find strong ahadith that the mu'min, or the sign of a munafiq, if he speaks, he lies. If he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. And if he begins to argue, begins to become vulgar inside his speech. So here maybe some of you may be thinking, well, we've all done that in our life. But here the ulama say, either bima'na istimrar, it becomes habitual, that every time this person speaks, they lie. If it's your habitual practice that every time you make a promise, you break the promise, then you have got khisalun nifaq. Then you have got an attribute of hypocrisy within you. So this should not become habitual practice for a Muslim, that people say, well, he's known to lie. He lies whenever he speaks, or whenever he says something, he's half the time he's lying. Hatta that you find that don't even lie to make people laugh. Some of us at times we may try to make people laugh, and we make a joke, we make whatever it may be up, and we lie. That's not allowed as well in Islam, that a person lies in that manner. And if there is a concept of the white lie that people try to write about, it does exist to a partial degree. But when does it exist? To make reconciliation between Muslims, to create love and devotion between the Muslims. As the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. If two parties of the believers, they begin to fight, then try to reconcile between the two. Try to bring them together upon birr, upon piety, upon righteousness. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Come together upon piety and good actions. Don't come together upon ithm, upon sin and transgression and bad behavior and bad conduct. So this is the first thing that in general, as a Muslim, should be displayed with sidq, truthfulness. Obviously, that as-sidq awwalan ma'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truthfulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني من خان حيال الفلا, whoever يعني stretches towards حيال الفلا is going to be treacherous towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beginning. So when sometimes Muslims may say, well, he does this, he's nice, and this, he's nice, and that. No. There's some good characteristics a person may have. Your first truthfulness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first truthfulness that every Muslim needs to develop inside their life. Then secondly, towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then thirdly that we find, towards one's parents, one's family members. And then towards the rest of society. That whatever the Muslim engages in, transactions, in businesses, in speech, in contracts, everything a Muslim does is a person who's true to their word, true to their commitment, and true to their speech. But as for many of us that we find, unfortunately, we make a separation that we are pious individuals inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our concepts of tijarat, of businesses, of transactions, of bay, or shira, buying and selling and commodities, whatever it may be, then everything goes, everything becomes acceptable. No, that's not how a Muslim should be. Fasluddini ani dawla is to separate the deen from our daily rituals, our daily targets, or whatever it may be. No, everything about ourselves should try to remain observant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truthful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to apply whatever we can of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran mentions, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. So this is a sidq that a person needs to be, all of us need to be reminded about this. The second general characteristic that has begun to infiltrate into some of us Muslims, unfortunately, is al-kibr, is arrogance. What is arrogance? Is arrogance to dress well? Is arrogance to eat well? Is it to drive well? Is that arrogance? Not really. That's not the arrogance that the Prophet Muhammad was highlighting. Even at times it can lead to some form of arrogance, but that's not the real arrogance. If a person wears good shoes or wears good clothing, what is al-kibr? Al-kibr batarul haqq wa khamtun nas, is to reject the truth and to despise people, to look lowly upon people, to look down upon individuals. That's a bad characteristic. In general, unfortunately, we find that kibr in its various shades, in its various colors, it exists, unfortunately, in the Muslim ummah, whether it be the ultimate level of kibr that we find that came from shaytan, ana khayru minhu khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen, I'm better than him, created me from fire and created him from clay. That's why we find, even today, some Muslim factions say that I'm better than him. But what do you find in the hadith? لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا عجمي على عربي. There's no preference of an Arab over a non-Arab over an Arab, a white over a black over white, a yellow, etc. There's no difference. But unfortunately, what do we find? Sometimes people may try to shy away from it. There is mass amount of racism in the Muslim ummah. A mass amount of racism, no matter what anyone says. The reality is that it exists in various colors and various disguises. We are full of this bad characteristic. We should not really be existing if we are supposed to be reclaiming the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst all of ourselves, to question ourselves that do we really, truthfully, follow the real teachings? So that's another element that needs to be absolved from us. Likewise, find the other disguise of arrogance that you find today of the practicing Islam, unfortunately, that sometimes one fraction, a young Muslim, may think he's better than another Muslim. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't claim sanctity for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who are the pious individuals. So how can one Muslim think they're better than another Muslim? Maybe the Muslim doesn't pray or whatever it may be, or they just learn about Islam. The person should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their heart. Did not one day someone take you by the hand and highlight to you, look my brother, this is not correct, this is haram, this is halal, you should pray, you should fast, you should be observant of the rituals? Or did someone take you and speak to you in a hard manner, be harsh towards you, rebuke you, shout at you? Obviously, that's not the way that most of us have been taught in our lives. So likewise, we have to return the same way that someone taught us, with love and affection and with good words. And thus you find that good words will only beautify something. And thus you find that the person who's repulsive and in an incorrect manner will only come with more disgust. So this is another type of arrogance that we find that some people, unfortunately, even amongst our own selves at times, that we begin to belittle other individuals. So Muslims should be vigilant that this doesn't become their characteristic. This doesn't become their general behavior. Rather, they become a person. Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعُوا شِدَّوْا عَلْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ the Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Stern and harsh towards the disbelievers and the time is right. They can't always be stern and harsh towards the disbelievers. But all the time, ruhama, baynahum, merciful, compassionate towards the believers. And sometimes I ponder and I think that sometimes this ayah has been turned around. It's quite harsh or rude or incorrect to make this statement. But sometimes you see that people are always bending backwards for ruhama ila al-kuffar, merciful and compassionate towards disbelievers. Ashidda ala al-mu'mineen, harsh towards their own believers around them. Wakhfid janahaka lil-mu'mineen. The Quran says, lower the wings of mercy for the believers. Show compassion, respect towards the believers, care towards the believers. That's how a Muslim should be towards another Muslim, irrespective of whatever problems they may have. That is what the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad is. A da'wah of shafaqah, as the end of Surah Tawbah mentions. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The end of Surah Tawbah. Once again, there's come a messenger from amongst your own selves. It troubles him. It worries him. Gets upset. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Forever over worried about you, that you're turning away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's merciful and He's kind towards the believers. Is that how we as Muslims are generally towards other Muslims? Does another Muslim feel that from us? That we are showing them some love, some affection? Or are we showing them the characteristics of anger, the characteristics of pride, the characteristics of, maybe, may Allah forbid, of pushing people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this leads on to the third general characteristic of one, of tawadu', of humility, of humbleness. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Whoever becomes humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift up the rank of that individual. That's what you find, that this humbleness, this humility, or this modesty that we find, الْحَيَاء شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, is a part of iman. الْحَيَاء خَيْرٌ كُلُّهُ. All of haya, modesty, bashfulness, morality, however you want to translate it, it's all good for the individual to be in that manner. That's one occasion the Prophet Muhammad mentioned about one companion, some individual rebuking him. He said, indeed you have two khaslatan, you have two characteristics. Al-hilmu, yani you have forbearance, patience. Wal-haya, and modesty, humility. This once again should be the general characteristic of a Muslim. Of being modest, being simple, a simple individual. Likewise, especially towards the women folk, that a loss of modesty is a loss of character, loss of behavior. That's we find inna min awwali kalamin nubuwa, amongst the first words of revelation that we find that we've given to all of the prophets. فَإِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no shame, do whatever you want to do. So when a person loses shame, then they do whatever they want to do. Like what the Quran mentions. فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. One of the women, the two daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam, came walking in a state of what? Bashfulness, in a state of modesty, state of humbleness. That is how the Quran addresses how women should be adorning themselves, whether it be the dress sense, the speech. The Quran mentions, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. Don't be deceptive, alluring inside your speech. Speak right to the point in a blunt manner to a person who's not related to you, lest there may be an individual with a sickness inside their heart. So what the Western world is trying to create, and some Muslims are trying to create, that reclaim your rights. There's no concept of reclaiming your rights. Your rights are within the rights of Islam. As we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He's created for the human being. That is where success will lie, in returning back to that life of humility, of humbleness, of being content that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out these laws and these regulations to better all of us individuals. Likewise, we find another concept that begins to slip our mind. It should be the general characteristic of a Muslim. Al-adl is justice, to be fair. That's how a Muslim should be. It should be the general characteristic that the individual is fair. If you read the tafsir of the ayah inside Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of Quran, verse number 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And nay, by your Lord, these people never ever believe until they do not take you as a judge in the disputes that take place amongst them. If you go back and read the tafsir of Imam Ibn Kathir, this ayah in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter, verse number 65, He mentions in the story of the possible reason of revelation, this ayah, whereby you find that Zubayr ibn Awam, cousin of the Prophet Muhammad, the son of Safiya, the aunt of the Prophet Muhammad, had a certain garden area. And the Prophet Muhammad advised him to keep the water and then to release the water so your neighbor may use the water as well. The person of the Ansar wasn't content. He said, the commandment that you've given is only because he is your cousin. He's related to you. So this angered the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And he said that now keep the water, paraphrasing the rough rendition, the meaning, keep the water and then release it. Meaning the first time I gave the judgment, it was fair. I was just. That he would gain the water, and likewise the water would spread into your area of the land as well. But because you said, you accused me that I'd done this out of favoritism or nepotism that beginning to take place all around at the moment, that one person hands over their control and rule to another individual. So just because he happens to be a family member, that's the only reason you're making this commandment. But that wasn't the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He wasn't doing it out because this was his family member. Because he was a just individual. Even if you read the whole movement of the coming of Al-Khawarij, the people they talk about, go back and read the coming of Al-Khawarij. What is the initial beginning? Whereby an individual came, if I'm not mistaken, the individual named Abdul Khuwaisara came and said to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, be just, be fair. This enraged the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Because this is every right that the Prophet Muhammad was the most fairest and the just individual. Likewise, to say to him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. So such type of statements towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enraged him. That how can individuals come and say to him that be just, be fair? And thus some of the companions wanted to execute him, wanted to decapitate his head. But obviously we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't sent to harm the followers around him. So he let him go free and said, from this loins of this individual you'll find that people will come. And that is, if you go and read the rest of the history of the belief of the Khawarij, etc. But going back to the ayah inside, Surah An-Nisa, that this ayah was sent down, as Imam Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir, that people were, this person was not content and happy with the verdict of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So Islam is always telling us to be fair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us with justice, with fairness, with equity, good behavior. اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. Be fair, be just, that is closer to taqwa. So these are the general, any symbolic etiquettes that all of us as Muslims should be generic for us of following these noble characteristics, following these noble traits, that every single Muslim should have these traits of being truthful, of not being a liar, of being honest, of being humble, of not being arrogant, of being fair, of being just, of being tolerant. That should be a general symbolic message from all of us. We don't need to be religious clerics, etc. Every single individual should have these traits and these characteristics, and these will automatically begin to infuse inside the society. That once again, as we find that many ulama mention, that we are a people, a nation, with our akhlaq, with our character. And when the akhlaq begin to disappear, then the ummah begins to disappear as well. Once again we begin to refine our belief and our character, and once again this ummah begins to rise and it begins to excel once again. Likewise, the meaning of what Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, that what was any deen yesterday has to be deen today. From that extraction, what do we find? Is fine character and behavior. What was the characteristics and the behavior of the people at that time needs to be also the behavior and the characteristics of this time, of today. That once again we may return back to lifting this Muslim ummah once again by its creed, by its characteristics, by its ibadat, its worship, its behavior, and its conduct, all sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to remain true and steadfast to the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, and to follow the fine etiquettes and the behavior of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم سبحانك وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاك الله خير for that excellent reminder. Inshallah, we'll take a few questions if brothers have any questions. But before we do that, as I mentioned at the beginning, inshallah, the remaining lectures for this month will all revolve around the issue of etiquettes and manners and behavior. However, as we're entering into Rabiul Awwal and there's a lot of confusion on the issue of celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe what we'll do is next week or the week after, inshallah, we'll try and deal with this subject as well. So if you have any questions, or you have any friends or family members who have any confusion on this issue, inshallah, bring them along, and hopefully it'll be a good opportunity to clarify the matter, inshallah. Also, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we've started a new Arabic class, which takes place every Saturday and Sunday mornings at 10:30. It's for brothers only. It's only been running for 2 weeks, so if you want to join, inshallah, there's still an opportunity for you to come and join that. It's a beginner's level class, so inshallah, take advantage of that. You can just turn up at 10:30 in the morning. So inshallah, now if any of the brothers have any questions, you can raise your hand and we'll take a few questions, inshallah, before we close for today. Any questions?
Salaam alaikum.
Okay, just to summarize the brother's question, he's asking, living in the society that we live in, where we're surrounded by a lot of bad manners and a corrupt society, how do you maintain good manners in such a society where you only get a spiritual high when you're in the masjid and you're with the community of believers?
Barakallahu fi. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, we find that it becomes the challenges are when we begin to live in the wider world, and to show the non-Muslims around us that there is something special about Islam. Because many non-Muslims at the moment, they think there is no real difference. If we're supposed to be a faith which is dominant, a faith which is refining individuals, then why are so many Muslims coming out and they're lying, they're stealing, they're cheating, they're robbing, they're harming individuals, being reckless towards society? So we have to refine ourselves to understand that Islam is not just in the masjid, it's a complete way of life from the beginning when we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep, and even within our sleep, if we make the appropriate adhkar. So the person should be worried about everything that they do. And that's why some of the ulama mentioned that living inside the West, if you make a mistake in your etiquette and your speech, it will be doubled. The punishment will be manifold, because your representation of Islam is going to be detrimental. And like people may live in a Muslim land, these characteristics are normal. If somebody slips up, just maybe one bad deed, etc., it doesn't have a big impact. But living in the West, if we refine ourselves with these characteristics, the reward will be immense. Because the reward will have such an impact upon, or the characteristics will have a big impact upon the wider society. Even simple things. That, for example, many non-Muslims in our area, we had an individual, he became Muslim quite simply because an individual stood up in a bus. The person who stood up in the bus was an elderly man. He was baffled that you are an old man who can't even speak English. Why did you stand up for me? Why did you stand up for me? That was enough for him to become a Muslim. That was enough for him to see that his attire and his behavior, that this man genuinely stood up to give me space. So as Muslims, that's how every Muslim should be. You don't need to, as I mentioned, be a great cleric or a great speaker or whatever it may be. If Muslims behave as Muslims, then half our problems will be solved. That's how simple it is. So obviously we know there's a challenges of the wider Western world that begin to influence on our ethics and our character and our behavior. But if we remind ourselves continuously, task becomes easy. That this is the way we should behave, this is the way that we should conduct ourselves, etc. And then take that to our friends around us, the people around us, and show them truthfulness and good characteristics. And this will, inshallah, penetrate into their hearts. If not make them become Muslims, at least give them something to think about, that there is something special about being a Muslim and our teachings that we have. If we don't make that distinction, then many non-Muslims, they think today, well, there's going to be no benefit in me becoming a Muslim if this is what Muslims, how they behave and how they conduct themselves. So we may see it as something trivial,
But remember, there's always people that are watching over us. Always watching over us, the way that we conduct and we behave ourselves, they watch that, they observe that. And so some of them, they see our conduct and our behavior and our etiquettes, and they begin to think, what goodness do you have? In one of another area that we had non-Muslim Christians coming and giving out their material. Good luck to them. It's their country, they want to give out their material. But one brother walked up to the Christian and said, why are you giving it out outside near the masjid? He said, here's the church, there's the masjid. You give it outside the masjid, I'm giving it outside here. It's a free country. So the Muslim young brother gets frustrated, begins to argue with him and become obscene, etc. This, that and the other, crowd gathers around them. So the Muslim young brother slaps the Christian in the face. You know, the Christian says, he goes, that's your faith summed up, and walked away. What's just happened now? Islam has been defamed. He may think that he's done the right thing. He hasn't done the right thing. The Christian has now helped him defame Islam. That this sums up your faith. A lack of tolerance, a lack of acceptance of another individual. And we need to understand that the bi'ah that we're living in, the environment that we're living in, this is their country. These are their laws. These are their ethics. This is their teachings that they want to follow. So we have to show them something which is good, something which is special that will begin to entice them to move away from their laws and their ethics, that this is going to be something beneficial for them inside this dunya and inside the akhirah. Wallahu a'lam.
Yes, brother. As-salamu alaykum. Okay, forgot the brother's question. I think the brother's asking, is there any hadith or anything that says which of the two are more beloved to Allah, the one who has more knowledge or the one who has more good character? Okay, the one who doesn't have so much knowledge, but he has a good character.
Hey, barakallahu feek. First, we find that it's very rare, and that should be what should be understood, that a person of knowledge, of real knowledge, has bad character. Okay, that's an exception. The general rule of a person who has real knowledge and real understanding, not what people may perceive to be knowledge. The real knowledge will refine the individual. And if that individual does behave badly, that's an exception to the rule. That's why we find the Quran mentions, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. The people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those people who have knowledge. That's a general praise. Like at the beginning of Surah Al-Imran that we find, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise the angels are men of knowledge, men of understanding. So the general characteristics of people of knowledge and deep knowledge, راسخ في العلم. ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون وبما كنتم تدرسون. Become good teachers in the knowledge that you studied and the works that you read. Those individuals, it becomes very rare for them. Yes, we are human beings. Human beings will slip and err many occasions, but it's very rare. But as for what people may think, that this is a person of knowledge and this is their characteristic, then obviously you have to go back and check what is their real status of knowledge and understanding. And likewise, you find that a normal individual doesn't mean that we belittle a normal individual. We're all normal individuals. But remember, that rank is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find out, ilm, the person knows what is halal, what is haram, knows ayat of zajr, of adab, of punishment, of torture, of bliss, of paradise, of good deeds, about the akhirah, about the sharia, maqasid al-sharia, the intent of the sharia, the blessing of the sharia, the halal, the haram, the asool, the principles, knows that. That should create what in the individual? Refine the individual. But if the person doesn't really know that, we can't classify them as a person of knowledge in the first place. And if we're just a simple individual, then we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are simple individuals, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to excel more, that our knowledge doesn't become an evidence against us, but becomes an evidence for us. That's what a person should be praying, that the knowledge becomes an evidence to help them, not an evidence that becomes any against them. Wallahu a'lam. As for any hadith, then I don't know any hadith specifically mentioning that. Barakallahu fiqh.
Okay, one more question inshallah from this brother here. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
In your speech, you mentioned a cluster of core characteristics that are general that the Muslim should have. But is there a hierarchy that, we should aim for this one first, and then second, and third? Is there anything like that?
Okay, the brother's asking regarding the lecture in which a lot of general characteristics were mentioned, good characteristics that we should try and develop. But is there a hierarchy where some are more important than the others, or which one is the most important?
طيب, أولا, that we find that as for the hierarchy of characteristics, any those four that I mentioned are in general, some of the ulama have collected that these are the hierarchy of main things that we should be aiming towards. But that doesn't mean we should belittle them. Because we find that obviously akhlaq has various stages, even iman has various stages. As the Quran mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَدْخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Or you believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly, total submission. Don't follow the ways of the devil. So at times we shouldn't begin to segment things. Whatever we have the tawfiq and ability to do, we should do it. The greatest branch of faith is what? قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا. The lowest branch of faith is what? إِمَاتُتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. To remove a harmful object from the street. That's characteristic, isn't it? So the highest is a statement. The lowest is you see something blocking the street, you should remove it. Do some of us Muslims remove it, see rubbish or whatever, maybe just leave it. I'll pay my council tax, let them remove it, let them do it. This is all part of iman, part of khuluq. So whenever a Muslim has the opportunity, likewise find a hadith, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not despise any opportunity of doing something good. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ. Don't belittle it. Opportunity to do good, person should do it. That's you find, ابْتِسَامِ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَ. To smile in the face of your brother is what? It's صدقة. It's a good deed, isn't it? So any opportunity to do something, to cheer someone up, to say good words, to do something even more exerting, to build a masjid, to build an orphanage, spend your money, whatever it may be. They're all opportunities. Some of them have written any of the various stages. As I mentioned, Imam Mundhiri talks about all of the different good actions and the bad actions. But even then, they still don't characterize them in an order. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe there may be some works out there. Some ulama have gone to a great degree to say that this is the highest rank and this is the lowest rank. But in general, we should try to follow all these characteristics. Wallahu a'lam. غرباء 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 غرباء